sense in a mad, mad world. You are now listening to The Madness Collective.
I'm going to do a longer one next time, but originally from Chicago, web developer extraordinaire and creative genius and a man with extremely strong vocal cords, Mr. Antoine.
Hello, it's hot as fuck in here.
All the way from Baltimore, Maryland, she arrived here on a rainbow with a Louis Vuitton suitcase full of ambition.
Oh, yes.
She will be featured on Vanderpump Rules coming up season two.
Yes.
And she has a fierce model walk, Ms. Tina McDowell.
Hello, it's so good to be here.
And we have Godfrey.
That's a dog. You can't see him, but he's really cute.
Okay, do we have any housekeeping items from our last episode? I mean, I think we should talk about the fact that we're not doing video. Does anyone want to comment on that?
This is a big step. We're doing video. I pushed for it from the first day. I've always wanted this, okay?
Yeah.
But they blocked me, but that's because
they're because she wanted us to report it on fucking FaceTime camera.
I wanted you to see us, and they wanted everything to be perfect and lighting and everything. But you know what? I give them credit because it looks great in here, and so I give them credit. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, we're jumping to segment one. So, the Department of Justice sees Associated Press phone records. So quickly, what happened is the Department of Justice secretly obtained 2 months worth of telephone records of journalists working for the Associated Press. They took cellular, office, home telephone records of individual reporters and an editor, the general office numbers in the Washington, New York, and Connecticut offices, and the main number for AP reporters who are covering Congress. All in this for like an investigation of a leak that happened for a story that came out on May 7th of last year. How do we feel about this?
You should be living right.
Wait, what?
You should be living right.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Right. There should be nothing to fear if the government seizes some of your records. What are you talking about? What is so bad?
You know, press needs to be able to like access their resources they have their confidential.
They
have their confidential sources.
No, I mean, the truth of the matter is that when I first read it, I was like, dang, that's a little bit much. You know, I don't want my home, everything.
You're a reporter. Let's say I work for the government, and I'm like, ooh, there's some shit I need to go ahead and tell my person about. And the government is like, yeah, we're about to subpoena all your phone records.
That was my problem, was that I understand, you know, sometimes you have to use phone records when there's something very specific. Why are you listening to Kathy talk to her husband about how she likes to be a dominatrix on Saturday nights?
Wow.
Like, that has nothing to do with what you subpoenaed the records for. It's just, there's no reason to say, well, we need to pinpoint this one person, so we're just gonna listen to everybody. I don't think that's fair.
So that was part of the issue, was that it was overbroad.
Like, that's my problem.
Literally just went in, and this whole collection of reporters and these different offices and cell phone and home numbers.
Yeah.
And part of what happened is that there was a story that came out reported that the CIA disrupted an Al-Qaeda.
They call them both.
Okay. In the Middle East, there was a plot to blow up an airliner, though it later came out that the plot was actually a sting setup. But this story got reported. So the government was like, okay, who leaked that information?
Yeah.
And so they were like, we're about to hunt this person down.
Right.
And so they did, like, literally subpoenaed 2 months worth of phone records. And what's supposed to happen is they were supposed to have told the AP editor, or like whoever in charge of AP, that they were going to do this. They didn't.
Right. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah.
And there's a loophole for them to do that if they think it's going to threaten national security.
Oh, yeah.
To mess up their investigation. So, but this is scary. It's not scary.
And I understand why they, when you think about that, you know, they're concerned, like, this was supposed to be a secret mission.
Yeah.
How did this information get out there? I understand that part. Yeah, you should research it and see how a fucking reporter found out about it, you know, outside of the military. But yeah, to do that to everybody and then not tell, this Department of Homeland Security, all this stuff, it just gives them carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want, and you can't do anything.
So there's the other side to it, that they say that this is Obama's administration that is not being very trusting and is doing
well. So apparently they have prosecuted more whistleblowers I think in terms of this whole leak situation, under his administration, yeah. than I think any
other than any other president.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's the climate that he came into. And I hate to always say that. It's like that's
whatever, y'all.
No.
Oh really? It's the climate? It's the climate?
No.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Y'all
always gotta
spur. I acknowledged it that I feel like we do say that all the time, like he can't fuck up. Oh, that's because Bush shit in the doorway and he has to keep dealing with this shit in the doorway. I think we have to stop saying that sometimes, because this whole thing with situations like this happening, it lately the White House has they've had to the press secretary has come out so many times recently and said, we were unaware of this. It's like, fuck, do y'all know about anything?
So to that point, so the next thing that happened was the IRS targeted Tea Party groups. On May 10th, earlier last month, a top official from the IRS dropped a bombshell. IRS staffers have singled out conservative organizations with Tea Party or Patriots in their name that were seeking tax-exempt nonprofit status, subjecting them to extra scrutiny to see if they are abusing the tax law as it relates to political activity. They grilled these conservative groups about their members, their donors, their public statements, and who they employed. And as Antoine pointed out, White House press secretary came out and was like, we found out about this on the news.
Right.
Y'all did.
Right. Obama said he found out. And he's like, well, if they are guilty of this, then they will be prosecuted to the fullest of the law. We have to be able to. And I'm like, you were sitting at home watching the fucking news, like I'm watching it, and this is. I mean, I understand that can happen. He can't be everywhere at once, but it's been happening so much.
Whatever, he knows what's going on.
That's our point, is that?
Yeah.
Drill.
But I find it all cute. You know what?
It's cute.
Because they did the same thing on the other end years ago. They were on us.
So to my point, the point is,
Crescent is smiling because she knows about the spouse.
Yeah, she knows it. All right, be careful because Obama is out to get y'all.
I'm not signing on that.
So you were right to be scared. I understand now why you're.
I'm sorry. So they're upset because they're being targeted. Welcome to the motherfucking party. For real. Now, granted, that shouldn't excuse it. Bad behavior shouldn't excuse additional bad behavior, but
right.
Welcome to our world.
I know.
Antoine, you know, you black man.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, I get, and it doesn't happen a whole lot. I get the DWB violations every now and then. And it's funny because the driving while black.
I'm about to explain that because not everyone knows.
Driving while black. It can happen. The last time it happened to the last two times it happened to me, actually, it was black on black crime.
Oh,
because the last time it was a black cop that pulled me over and I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm just sitting there and it was a young guy, too. And I'm just like,
90 minutes. You know, you're all fucked up now.
I really did. I wanted to say, man, I mean, are you really pulling me over? Like,
was he attractive?
Really?
No, I don't remember him being attractive. And the time before, it was a black guy and a Mexican guy, and they were assholes. Mm. And I had just got some Burger King, and you know Burger King, them fries.
Don't be pumping Burger King.
No, I'm just saying that, and that's why I'm so mad. I was right, I could see my apartment, and I'm sitting there at this Burger King, and I know my fries are getting cold, and they asking me dumbass questions, like, where do you live? I said, I told you, I live right there. How many do you make this turn often? I'm like, I make it every day.
Word?
It was because I had, you know, on the back of your trunk when you have the light, the brake light, one of the lights was out. It's not even the brake lights that are on the main body of the car. This was the one that's it's on the back of the trunk. It's a vanity brake light. So that's why they pulled me over.
You think you cute?
Before.
Okay. So speaking of cuteness. So, John Boehner's daughter married.
Oh, that was great. That
married
was
a dreadlock Jamaican who's a construction worker.
Pot smoking.
Boehner is. I didn't know how to think for a second.
Really, House Speaker John Boehner, Republican House Speaker John.
Very conservative looking.
Extremely.
Yeah.
A thorn in President Obama's side. Mm-hmm. His daughter tied the knot with her Jamaican-born love in an intimate sunset ceremony in Florida.
I mean, he looking like Damian Jr. got Marley. Like, his shit is down to his ass.
Like, she is the epitome of, she would be, you know what I'm saying? Like, the House Speaker's daughter.
Yes.
White daughter. Let's just be clear, okay?
But she kind of, you know, she got the tattoo on her arm. I don't think she follows in the family's footsteps.
Oh, yeah. She's got a wobble.
She's off the beaten path.
I want to know how they met.
Well, I don't know how they met, but I know how he got her, because I've been gotten by one of those long dreaded Jamaican types. And they talk all this love,
long dreaded.
Exactly. No, there's truth in it. It's true. The sensuality.
She said, I love them long hair, big dick Jamaicans.
I didn't say
put it or slap my face with it.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Throw on some Bob Marley and put it on, man.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, I understand what happened.
Nobody knows how they met.
Can you imagine her father is mortified? He has to be mortified.
He seems to be okay with it. They were matching suits. They both wore gray.
The groom and her father wore matching. That was very supportive.
Yeah.
So, speaking of penises, Snoop reminisced about being a pimp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I should say speaking of Jamaica, because he's now Snoop Lion.
I'm gonna let you talk first, because you know I feel some kind of way about this.
So,
y'all talk about it.
There was
first.
A Clutch magazine article that they're quoting a Rolling Stones article. In it, I'm quoting Snoop now. As a kid, I dreamed of being a pimp. I dreamed of having cars and clothes and bitches to match. I said, fuck it, I'm finna do it. So, during his Playboy tour in 2003, he utilized his fame, money, and power, and in his words, to put an organization together. And he finally made his long-awaited childhood fantasy come true. This is my last quote I'm gonna read. I had a bus follow me with 10 bitches on it. I could fire a bitch, fuck a bitch, get a new hoe. It was my program. City to city, titty to titty, hotel room to hotel room, athlete to athlete, entertainer to entertainer. That disgusted me. I was disgusted.
Okay, well, we have to give him credit for being honest about where he comes from.
I don't have to give him credit for that.
And in his world, there are prostitute hoes, and then there are women that you respect. There are two different worlds of people.
Are there women that you respect?
I think there is. I think his mom, I think his wife.
Bear in mind, he was married when...
That's what
he was married when he was when he was pimping.
So the quote from him, my wife had to take a backseat to this shit. I love her to this day because she could have shook out on a nigga, but she stayed in my corner. So when I decided to let it go, she was still there.
It's not ideal, but I mean, I understand things happen. People do things that we would not
want
to
do. Shut the fuck up.
It's true. It's true.
You would not stand for that if your man was out there pimping. His wife knew what was going on. Now, it's different if she didn't know, but she knew what was going on. Now, you know what? Let me say this. The article implies, because he said she had to take a back seat, it implies that she knew. If she didn't know, she knew what was going on.
The logical answer would be for me to be all upset and disgusted by it. No, I'm not happy about what he's saying, but I remember being in Amsterdam a few times and talking to people who selling sex, it is a part of their lifestyle. I'm not saying it's right, but it's just what is done. It's not.
That's fine. Don't get married.
So now we're holding marriage in such high standards because marriage is...
I think, Antoine, because you and I talked about this like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was more his nostalgic reminiscing about it.
Right.
Like, that I get you. It was just...
And no, just the complete disregard for the fact that you're objectifying women, and that whole thing is glamorized, rappers glamorize the pimping whole culture, but the thing is, these women are beaten, they're used, I mean, it just so many negative things happen. They're on the street.
Zero self-esteem.
Yeah, it destroys these women.
100%. You're absolutely right. But it just lets you know that Snoop Dogg is not somebody that you can look up to.
Hell no.
These are people that need to be healed themselves. And it lets you know our culture of who's revered and who we look up to, and then the main ones that have the issues.
No, you're absolutely correct about that. Now, to the point, you said this is environment Snoop came from. Perhaps it's also an environment his wife came from. She's like, this is what
niggas
would do, so I'm just going to ride out with it.
But I'll tell you, this is what always irritates me about hip-hop culture, is just how contradictory it is. I swear this article was written after he made his transformation into Snoop Lion. And Snoop Lion is supposed to be a different person.
He's cleansing.
He's supposed to be more positive. So, you know, he's doing songs with him and Miley Cyrus have a video
but
out
that's
now.
That's just it. I think that was a part of it. It's like who he is now versus who he was then. And like, he's got Matt commercials, like pushing gum products.
Right.
I mean, like just,
right.
It's such a dichotomy. I don't know. Just in terms of like trying to, this was just a lot going on. There's a lot to process reading that article. And at the end of the day, I was just disgusted.
But don't glamour, even if something happened in your past, you can explain your past without glamorizing it. The article really, it sounded like, damn, nigga, can we go back to, that was the best time of your life. Like,
no.
And that's the problem is that it was glamorized. And that's the part I didn't like.
Boo. Speaking of former pimps, James Lipton, who is the host of Bravo's Inside the Actors Studio, in a recent article interview with Parade magazine, said that there was that back in the day when he was in Paris, right after World War II, he was a pimp, but there's a different term for it, which my co-host just mentioned to me. So what happened is that he was running out of money and was about to leave Paris, and he had a friend, a girlfriend, was platonic, and she was like, "Oh, you're broke." And he was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "Well, I have a proposition for you.
I'll sell my pussy and you be my man."
Yeah.
She said this to James Lipton.
Yeah.
Right. He was like, okay. And the way he describes it, he says, this is from him, "A pimp exploits and abuses the women who work for him. A Mac does nothing of the sort. I'm talking about then. The Mac works for the women. He's a procurer. He's an agent, so to speak." Because if she was like, he said, in that era, women definitely couldn't get jobs. Men couldn't get jobs, but women, it was even harder. And he was like, they were doing it. Everybody was doing it. They sort of just needed somebody to facilitate the process. But it sounds like in that instance, they were a little bit more in control.
Yeah, the women weren't beaten. And it literally was like a business transaction.
It was like a bottom bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
So if there's a healthy form of prostitution going on, you're okay with it?
I'm totally okay with it.
We had that conversation.
There's nothing wrong with prostitution as long as women aren't exploited. I have zero problem with prostitution as long as the women are as long as the women are in power, as long as they can control what they do with their body and how much money they make, and if they don't feel like working on Saturday, they want to go to the mall and they don't want to sell some pussy that day, you should go to the mall instead of like being the shit beat out of you. Like, bitch, you walk in the streets today.
Okay.
Well, to that point, you know, there was a woman out of was it Rhode Island? Where were they? What was the Jamba? No, what was Zumba? The Zumba instructor.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got 10 months. She did her plea deal.
She
got 10 months.
Dang.
But we're talking about this. We were like, really? She's going to jail? And she was having sex. She was having sex.
I think it's okay.
We discussed how valuable our coochie is. Like, for real. It's worth
discussed.
It's true. It's priceless if you really want to put a price tag on it. It's priceless. But you can make don't make money on
it. Monica, Monica, don't work on Monica. Monica, Monica, no time for it all.
More pimping news. I'm just gonna read this highlight of this article.
Really? Oh, wasn't that shit?
Elderly residents at senior citizens' home used cocaine and ran a prostitution ring
for
their
kids. Good for them. You're about to die. Might as well have
this. This was in Englewood, New Jersey. There were two elderly residents who have been arrested on suspicion of using cocaine and running a prostitution ring out of their apartment at a senior citizen housing complex.
Wow.
I mean,
fuck it. Hey, you know what?
That one I can't.
If somebody tells me, hey, you know, when you're like 75, you're gonna end up in this, like, for lack of a better word, like a housing project for old people. And you can pay for sex and do a little coke. I can't say I would say no to that.
Here's the thing. The other residents in the home complained about the drunks and the addicts that were invading their building. And they were
that's a problem.
They were fearful of coming out of their rooms.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But
it needs to be controlled. Like,
so they just weren't, they weren't running their rooms.
They weren't running it properly. Yeah.
Okay. I might do drugs when I get old, though. I mean, why not?
I can't say I won't.
Have you seen that new Bravo show?
Hard drugs.
Marijuana doesn't count.
She means hard drugs.
I feel bad. I don't do cocaine. I don't do anything. I'm really boring, actually.
Whatever.
But what's that new show on Bravo? The Golden Sisters, I think it is. It's old.
They smoke pot, don't they?
Oh, they're doing everything. That one scene, it's with one of the old women. She's like, "You're drinking beer at 10 a.m., 11 o'clock," and she's like, Rolo. YOLO? You only live once.
YOLO! YOLO!
Rolo?
Blanche, YOLO! Blanche said YOLO. YOLO, bitch.
YOLO. YOLO.
Drink up.
Alright! There's a new pimp reality show about... No, I'm sorry. Speaking of the pimp game, there's a new reality show about strippers. But we have to wrap up.
Oh, that reality show.
We might have a minute.
Oh, my gosh. That reality show has me in a trance. The strippers, oh, my gosh.
It's called Strip Club Queens of Atlanta. And it's only online, correct?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's only online because I don't know where else they're going
to... Riveting.
Oh, it's riveting. Riveting. It's riveting.
Riveting.
They always say when it comes to reality TV, the catch is people have to be really truthful, really honest, and they are so honest. You could tell they mean every word of it, except for one girl. For the most part...
I'm not co-signing.
Oh, but did you see...
I love the white girl.
Oh, I love her.
I love the white girl.
She was so honest. She
is the Kim Zolciak of the strip club.
Oh, yeah. She was great. Did you see the one girl that she does this stunt where she like falls from like seven...
It splits. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so that is segment one. We'll be back shortly with segment two. With a sunshine smile upon my face, my friend. Alrighty, back with segment two. Mm-hmm. Our featured artist.
Really?
Our featured artist is...
Jamiroquai.
This is a Antoine pick, so.
Yeah.
Just a quick question before you go into Jamiroquai.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, did he have something new out? What made you go to him? Even though I pick old people, was there something new out or what made you...
Oh no, I fully intended to always do Jamiroquai. Jamiroquai is my favorite band. Lewis Taylor is my favorite performer, period. And so I've just been going through my list of favorites. I don't really want to pick anybody that's contemporary. I feel like people have access to that. I want to turn people on to...
Our contemporary people should be people that still aren't really known well.
Yeah, exactly. Like Quadron or what's our one from the one with the black chick we like?
There's been so many of this.
From Alabama Shakes. Alabama Shakes.
Brittany.
Yeah, Brittany. So... That's why I picked it. So I have a list in my head. Every time it comes to me, I already know who I'm going to pick. I just don't know what order.
So go.
Yeah.
And my poor baby, he's sweating, but that's because he's working hard. He's putting
I sweat a lot anyway.
It's a healthy thing, actually.
Just getting my, it is healthy.
Just detoxify,
good
for you. We have a certain amount of time for our segments, so we're going to actually go.
I'm getting my Whitney Houston on, okay? Jamiroquai was formed in 1992.
Okay.
It's a British band. The reason that the band was formed was the lead singer, JK, he auditioned to become the lead singer of the Brand New Heavies, and he didn't, he was unsuccessful. They picked India Davenport. You familiar with India?
I am. He was probably dancing around too much in the audition. That's
Well, he's actually like a skater. That's
he's
like
very
a culty.
Physical. But I love it. I mean, it's great. It's great. But Chris and I will talk about how this is.
He's real. It's something slightly corny about.
Yeah, we were getting tired of it.
He's pretty
but
animated.
It's good to be able to sing and be so physical at the same time. It's a great thing. But it is.
It's kind of like John Mayer when he plays the guitar. He makes these fuck faces. And it throws people off. Look at you. You're nasty. So he put a band together because he was like, fuck them. You know, I'm going to start my own band. So what he did was he found some musicians. And he doesn't actually play an instrument himself. But he writes most of the songs.
His body's the instrument.
What you say? His body is the instrument.
It's true, though.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing. You know, I like that, the fact that he writes the songs with the assistance of other musicians.
Okay.
He's basically, you know, he's the force behind the band.
Okay.
So the sound and everything, he helped develop that.
I bet he's a muse on some kind of level, too. He seems like a muse type of person.
I think it's difficult to get along with, though.
She doesn't respect your boy.
That is so funny.
She's been joking out since the
morning.
She don't respect your boy.
To be fair, I'm telling you, I agree. The videos, it's something like he's got the fucking buffalo hat on. It's
I'm okay with all that. I like
the buffalo hat is weird.
Well, so your favorite single?
Oh, sorry.
Is We're Too Young to Die. Okay. No, it's called Too Young to Die.
Correct.
That's my favorite. The name is.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Why is that your favorite?
That's
they all sound alike.
You know. fuck you up. So that's what I like about their sound, though. It's this. It's they use a Fender Rhodes electric piano on a lot of songs. It's acid jazz. It's a Fender Rhodes electric piano. It's the same piano that Stevie Wonder used on a lot of music in the 70s. R. Kelly.
Don't try to name drop Stevie Wonder.
I'm just telling you who fucking used the goddamn piano.
Keep going.
R. Kelly used it on a lot of songs too. Ooh. The Isley Brothers used it a lot.
I like that.
Like the Bump and Grind remix, that's got a Fender Rhodes piano.
I love Kells.
Really?
Yeah.
Kells who pees on little girls.
I'm sorry. You know what? He can pee. You know what? Peeing on girls aside, he is an amazing musician. He's a great songwriter.
You gotta give him credit for that.
I fell off for a minute after the peeing on little girls.
I mean, I understand that. That throws you off a little.
It does, but it almost seems that it's the prerequisite to be a great musician.
No, I'm not cosigning. No, Tina. No,
I'm not.
Continue.
I swear Elvis done peed on some girls.
Oh, Elvis, he did. I mean, the one he married was she was like 16, 15 when he met her.
I'm blocking my
eyes.
Michael Jackson, all of them. That's what they do.
Can't pee on a little boy.
I'm sure.
He did way more. Well, I mean, he allegedly did way more.
We're not doing that right now. We're not talking about Michael Jackson.
I'm going to let you continue with Jamiroquai, but just so you know, I'm teasing you because I really love him. I respect him. And after you played, made us listen to a lot of them, there were a few that I just adored. I loved him more than ever. And I keep calling him.
Well, that's what everybody does. No one knows the names of any. And the band has changed so much. Their sound changed over time because their first album is Emergency on Planet Earth. And it has a very distinct acid jazz sound.
Acid jazz.
Yeah, that's what that sound. Incognito, Brand New Heavies, Jamiroquai. I'm trying to think. New Eurekan Soul. A lot of those. It's considered acid jazz.
So Antoine's next two favorites, because I want to get this out so people know.
Okay.
Soul Education and All Right.
Yeah, All Right is off of their big album. It's off Traveling Without Moving. Traveling Without Moving was the third album, and that's the one with Virtual Insanity on it.
Right.
Virtual Insanity won, I think, 4 MTV Video Music Awards, like best everything. They won in all the categories.
That's the video I think most people are familiar with.
Yeah.
That black hat. That room. The furniture's moving around.
Right. They were fairly unfamiliar to the U.S. until that album.
Okay. Yeah. I liked You Give Me Something.
Oh yeah, I love You Give Me Something. Little L. There's a lot of good songs, but the sound evolved. One person that I think was a key component of the sound was a bass player, and he and JK had a falling out after I think the third album, and the sound just flipped. So after the one with You Give Me Something, that's on the album called A Funk Odyssey. After that album, the sound just changed. It became less acid jazz. They were more experimental. So much so that they released their last two albums I haven't even listened to.
So Tina and I my thing with the group is that a lot of it does sound similar to a lot of the songs, but Tina and I found another song called Corner of the Earth.
Yeah.
That sounds very different. And I like the video. So that's actually now.
If you listen to the first four albums, I understand each album has a distinctive sound, but if you were to take those four albums and just randomly play singles, you wouldn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
Because the sound changes each album.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
A lot of it sounded pretty similar. Corner of the Earth is different. I like the video.
That was good, too. That was really good.
They've got a song called King for a Day. Beautiful song. It's all strings. It's not none of the Fender Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's like a rock song.
Fender Rhodes. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the ones that are more commercialized seem to sound the same, but if you go deep and listen to them all, like you said, they're drastically different.
I wouldn't even necessarily say commercialized, it's just it was a similar melody and sort of
everything, tone, intonation, dance, everything was the same.
Yeah. I gotta pull
he's
up
a good
the
dancer. And by the way, he's a Capricorn born in the year of the rooster, and he's single right now, JK, the lead singer. And
so what is he doing right now? What's going on?
Just broke up with his girl probably about 2 years ago, so he's single.
That's not just he's been single for 2 years now?
I think so. I'm looking for him.
Okay.
That's
what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Where is he? What city is he in?
Yeah,
Stalker.
I look for him.
Stalker.
He looks like he's little.
Does. He looks tiny.
But I work with it. I'm sure.
Yeah, he's a small guy.
All right, new songs, new videos. So Antoine sent us a list. There's a lot of stuff on here. First off was The Dream, and Gawker is actually a really interesting review of the album. Is it Foreplay with the IV?
It's the Roman numeral 4, and then it's the play symbol.
Really, really dream, really.
I thought I I like that from a design perspective.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, and it was wet. It's like, I don't know. You have to see it.
I'm not a fan.
But it was like so R. Kelly. Like, I felt like it was so R. Kelly.
Oh, he's very, yeah. He acknowledges that he's been influenced by R. Kelly. Yeah. When he first came out, R. Kelly and The Dream used to work together on remixes and stuff.
So he has this song that uses the word bitch in almost every single line of the song. I'm not going to read these lyrics because I found it slightly offensive and probably would not be able to listen to the song.
Okay, I'll do it. How can I love this bitch and at the same time scream, fuck this bitch? And at the same time while I fuck this bitch, and at the same time had enough of this bitch. How can I hold this bitch? And at the same time, I don't know this bitch. And at the same time, I would cry over this bitch. And at the same time, I would die over this bitch.
So I think I was done after
this reading. This shit is hilarious.
After reading Snoop's quote, I was done using profanity for the rest of the episode. But yeah, those lyrics right there, what's going on? What's happening here? What's up with the song?
It's the culture. I mean, the thing is, I think if you're in the club and they play this, women are going to sing along to this song because it's used, and culturally we know that he's not using it in a disrespectful way. It's part of the love game, I guess you would call it.
Actually, I'm glad you said that because my only problem with it, we're gonna jump a little bit, Kendrick Lamar's song, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe.
Uh-huh.
I get what you're saying, and I understand, because I do like the song, but the Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, it throws me off a little bit because I'm like,
that's the purpose.
If he said
woman don't kill my vibe, It wouldn't work. It's like when you say bitch, don't kill my vibe, it has a different impact.
It does have a different impact.
Without necessarily being disrespectful. It's just like,
but see, I still read it. My instant reaction to it is disrespect.
Yeah.
But I know that that's not what he's going about for. But I know in the radio version is Trick Don't Kill My Vibe, which actually fits better for me because I still feel like it's not particular to a woman. I'm like, he could still be talking about a dude. Like, you know, like if I'm given a certain context, like, bitch, don't kill my vibe. Like,
I see him at a party. And a girl is all up in his face after he done smoked up a little. He with his guys. And she's like, but you told me you was gonna take me shopping. And he's like, bitch, don't kill my vibe.
You know,
that's how I see it.
I actually see it in a different kind. I see him at home in his head doing his thing.
And to be fair, and I'm sorry, just to clarify, I'm gonna let you finish. Kendrick Lamar doesn't smoke weed or drink alcohol. Even though I formed that picture in my head, it's inaccurate.
That's the thing, I think because of what I do know about his backstory. Right. I see him in his crib, in his head, you know, doing his thing, and like, she's like, so you taking the trash out? I was like, what's happening? Like, we was going to my mama's house. Like, what you doing right now? He's like, okay, for real, all this?
Right.
But bitch can be unisex.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right. I didn't see it as a woman at all.
He's like, I'm on boss.
I forced myself not to see it as a woman because I'm like, I could say that to a guy, like, stop, like, Trick Don't Kill My Vibe.
Yeah.
But still, what he meant to me was he's directing it toward a female.
Right. But really quick, The Dream has a song on his album called Pussy. And I was going over our topics, and what I do is I have the music playing in the background so that I, you know, I'm familiar with all the songs, and if something warrants a comment, I comment on it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm reading a review of After Earth, which I think we'll get to at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
The hook of the song goes, got my left hand on that booty, got my right hand in that pussy. Okay. And it's just repeated. It's repeated.
Yeah, he just keeps, that's just.
Yeah, that's the hook. That's the hook. So, that my ears perked up when I heard it. And
it does.
So
it does.
So
no,
I'm
it,
like,
come on, yours and mine just perked up like.
And there's nothing offensive about that. I mean, he's just talking about having sex with a woman. So he's working, you know. I mean, so anyway. I mean, maybe you're in anal.
I like that.
Maybe you like having a finger up, you know. So anyway.
I like that he's using both hands.
Yes, he should.
It's hot in here.
So look. So I'm listening, and then this rapper comes on, and I'm hearing him rap, and then I recognize the voice, and it's Big Sean, and he goes, slob on my knob like it's corn on the cob. She keeps going, oh my God. I died. I like to die when I heard that shit.
Yeah, so here, my issue with it is, okay, there's a time and a place for that. And there's a, can I get a little bit of romance? Why does it have to be, I got my left tail on her ass and my right hand in her cooch. Like,
but the album flows.
Everything right now, but to your point about
where
we are right now with music, especially quote unquote R&B music, like,
right.
It's so crass. Like, it's
It is. They leave no room to put imagination.
None whatsoever. There's no romance.
So the question is, how come we're talking about it? There's tons of other stuff to talk about, but we're talking about it. It calls us.
He wrote single ladies.
But there is something that draws us to lyrics like this. Like,
I'm not drawn to this.
I mean, it's interesting.
I do. I'm intrigued by it when I hear it, even though I don't necessarily condone everything, but I know a lot of it is tongue in cheek. It's not literally meant to call like somebody like.
I don't think it is tongue in cheek.
You don't think so?
I think at one point it may have been.
They were just desensitized because we hear
something. Exactly, and because it's so prevalent. Like, but to me, why I'm so passionate about it, what's like rising in my chest right now is. It leads to this disrespect of women.
No, I agree with
and
that.
Especially as the younger our children are who listen to this. This is what they grow up hearing. Not the Temptations, not Marvin Gaye, not a certain element of like how to approach a woman. It's like I have my left hand on her ass and my right hand in her twine.
Right.
You hear this growing up.
It's amazing for me. I'm slightly open-minded about it, but I tend to date guys who are disgusted by it and are really upset and like, no, I'm not going to let this play on the radio. And I'm not opposed to all of us, if we all ever wanted to band together and say, you know what, we're not supporting this. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to listen to it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I mean, we could try, but all right. Kendrick Lamar has that "Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe" is featuring Emily Sandé because we have to get through.
Which surprised me because I thought she was like a spiritual.
I was completely thrown off by her being on this song.
Yeah, she's saying "fuck" and "bitch" and everything on this song.
Kelly Rowland's "Dirty Laundry,"
but the song is good. Yeah. She does a good job on the song. I'm trying to get through more songs.
Okay,
I just want to make sure it's known that.
Yeah, I mean, I still love her. It just threw me off.
And she just performed for President Obama and Carol King at the Library of Congress.
Good job. She did really. She sang
Emily Sandé. So we're talking. About
yeah, Emily did, and she sang "Natural Woman" in front of Barack and.
Carol King, the woman who wrote the song.
The song was there. And, so,
and Michelle was there also.
And she played the piano while she did it.
Yeah.
And she did a great job. However, it made me go back to Aretha Franklin's version. And Aretha Franklin is on a whole higher octave doing a whole...
Oh, yeah. Emily brought it down. I could tell it felt lower. Yeah, like, it wasn't bad.
She has a high voice.
Yeah.
We have to talk about Kelly Rowland.
Anyway, she did
we
a good
talk
job.
Do we? I mean, do we really have to talk about her?
No, because you don't believe her.
I don't want to move on for Kelly Rowland.
I don't want to give Kelly attention. I swear a sex tape is coming.
You know what? That says a lot right there.
A fucking sex tape is coming.
That says a lot.
So she had a breakdown. She was doing what song? What was
Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry.
She was doing that in a concert.
Here's the thing. We don't believe Kelly. That's the issue. We feel like it's a cry for attention. It's ringing false. And it's not working for any of us.
Yeah, she's pulling out all the stops. She really wants
to
win this time.
But we want Kelly to win.
I don't want her to win at this price.
This way.
I don't want her to win for it. It's like... If you look at the pattern, okay, Kelly was on X Factor, the British one, and then now she's going to be on the U.S. version of X Factor. She had the she worked with Lil Wayne. She had Motivation came out, blew up for one song though. Now she's got an album coming out. She's singing about Beyonce. Then Beyonce and Michelle are on one of the songs on the fucking album. She's breaking down. She's singing about getting her ass beat.
Mariah Carey has a song called Beautiful that's featuring Miguel. The video is boring. I don't understand why.
She's showing some ass in the video.
Which is great. That's fine.
She looks fantastic.
She does.
Did y'all see on American Idol on the finale?
No. I don't
she sounded amazing and looked incredible.
But you don't think that was her singing live?
No, I don't think it was her singing live.
Okay. But in the video Beautiful with Miguel, she keeps doing the same thing for three and a half minutes.
It's boring.
But again, she does look good. Miguel, I give him credit for being... Yeah, I'm a Miguel fan.
Girl, we got 2 minutes. You want to get
no,
to Jesse J or not?
Minutes. We have 1 minute.
Get to Jesse J.
No. I have a question for you. If you were performing and somebody slapped your ass, what would you do?
I would do what she did, probably. Like, excuse me, don't do that. You can get out of here.
We're talking about Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce was performing in Copenhagen and somebody slapped her butt during a concert.
That shit is hilarious. Hey, real quickly. I know we're... John Legend is going to be on Oprah's Next Chapter. Does anybody want to comment on that?
No.
Good for
no?
Him.
Okay.
Great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Okay. We're going to leave it at that. I guess that ends this segment, right?
No.
Yes,
wait.
segment three.
Correct.
Okay, segment three. I know. Antoine's been doing a lot behind the scenes.
He's the engineer behind all this.
He's our tech guru.
Tech guru.
We would not be where we are without you.
Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you.
We have an awesome team. We really do.
We do.
All right, segment three. Ordinarily, if we have a guest, this is when our guest would.
I cook lunch. That's all I do.
I have some left over too.
Yes, Tina actually made a really
She normally cooks.
Yeah, you did good.
And it's always really healthy and it tastes really good. It's really flavorful.
Yeah, so segment three is going to be a little bit more of a free for all.
Somebody might need to wipe this one up real soon. Hey, I'm just putting it out
there. The right one. I'm open.
You about to get a bunch of information.
I would have done it myself a while ago, except for, you know.
What?
I still think he wants me. Just waiting for the time. You let me know, Antoine.
So as I was saying, segment three is usually where we have our guests and we interview them and we get to hear more about them. But we don't have a guest today because we're trying to figure out this whole camera situation.
Oh, it's a mess.
So instead, there were a bunch of news reports and articles that came out of Florida and Texas, two crazy states.
Yes.
This is Godfrey that Tina is now trying to bring into the mix.
I just want everybody to see him. Okay, tell us about, Florida.
So there's a couple stories. So one, there was a Florida cop who choked a black teen, a 14-year-old, for holding a puppy there at the beach. What the cop says is he was giving him dehumanizing stares. What the fuck does that mean? We're going to come to that. There's a man sentenced to 50 years in jail for stealing a rack of ribs. That was in Texas. We remember the woman, Kira, the little girl, oh, I'm sorry, the 16-year-old, Kira Wilmot, who was charged with a bunch of crazy nonsense that happened. She just experimented while she was on school grounds. There's a Florida man who shot himself while bowling. And then the best one has been the Papa John's employee who left a racist voicemail message.
Negro. Negro.
So actually, why don't you elaborate about what happened in that situation?
Well, The Papa John's employee, he's a delivery man.
Yes.
So he delivers a pizza to, it's a black gentleman. I'm sure it might have been a family.
It was a black couple. Yeah.
It was a black couple.
A husband and wife.
So the couple tipped him 21%.
21%?
Which is what they ignore. That's what they always
tip. They said they always tip.
Yeah.
Do y'all tip 21% on pizza and all that stuff?
No, I tip 20%. If I leave a tip, it's 20%.
Yeah. At a restaurant, but as far as when somebody delivers food, do you do 20-some%?
I actually do. I actually calculated in my head. Like, if my pizza was $20, I might leave them $4.
See, I'm great when it comes to restaurants. I'm probably above 20%. And black people, please start doing that because people talk about you and it's really bad. Like, there are times
I overtip for that reason.
Nobody wants to wait on the black people. And they're like, Tina, you wait on them because you know how. And it's just a truth of what's out there. And I don't want that to be
true. So you might elaborate quickly. Tina works.
I work at Villa Blanca in Sur. And in Beverly Hills in West Hollywood. And whatever your bill is, it is customary to give us 20%, at least 18% or 20%. Oh, really?
No, do it. Do
18%
you.
Or 20%.
You're on TV. They know what the fuck you
I mean, if, especially if the service is good. Especially, and 15 is like, you don't really do that anymore. It's usually 18 to 20%.
Black people over tip.
And black people have been under tipping. But
that's what we're known for, so please over tip.
But my experience is not that at all. I feel black people are really good.
So you feel a delivery person is different? I feel like they damn near went through more hell to get the pizza.
And here's my question.
Maybe
they drove it. They had to find where you live. Knock on your door, walk it up to you. That's freaking involved.
I don't know about
Here's
that.
Here's the question.
I think it's more when you're a server, you're talking to them, you're getting to know them. I think you're doing way more as a server.
We talked about this once before. What if the service is bad?
Then I feel you.
What if the service is bad?
10-15%.
Still tip.
You gotta give them something.
You actually don't.
Okay, you don't have to. You're right. You don't have to. If someone is an asshole, no, you don't have to.
Okay, so in this scenario, he says he tipped 21%.
Yeah, he tipped 21%, and so everything was fine. So the delivery man leaves, and the guy he just delivered the pizza to, his phone rings. And he picks the phone up, and he realizes that it's the delivery man he butt-dialed.
Accidentally butt-dialed.
By accident. And this dude proceeds to just...
go off.
He basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, he's like, oh, you're such a great upstanding nigger. You tipped me $5 or whatever. So I'm thinking the conversation is over at that point, and I look at the player, and it's a lot left. He says nigger like 30 times.
He sings a song.
He makes a song up. It's that Italian song, the one.
Migaro.
He's like, Migaro. Nigaro, Nigaro, Nigaro.
Stop laughing.
I'm sorry, I did laugh at that part. I did laugh at that part. Racist white people are some of the most creative people on the planet.
So wrong.
It doesn't make it right.
Give me a prop for that.
I was saddened.
Oh, you know you laughed when you heard. You know.
I did.
Out of all three of us, I picture you going.
I'm with him.
With laughter. Think,
but I didn't. I was like, oh, really? Why?
Really? That's
it. It hurt my feelings.
You know what's funny though? Because I kept reading the headline, I kept seeing it, so I knew what the gist of it was. So by the time I actually listened to it, and to some degree, I have become a little desensitized by the racist ridiculousness that is rampant on the internet.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of stuff that happens nowadays, especially after Obama went to office and it just exploded. I listened to it, and because it wasn't me, like, I can't actually say how I would have felt getting that voicemail message, because my first instinct would have been anger and to go find that motherfucker on the spot. Like, let me get in my car and go track him down. But listening to it from a distance, I laughed.
I did. I laughed.
I was like, he's an ignorant son of a bitch. Whatever. He's been fired from his, $5 an hour job?
Yeah.
Like, come on. I guess
I was saddened by the ignorance. Because that's a barrier
that's
for us all connecting.
Huh? It was so strong. It was so strong. I mean, because he hadn't even been wrong. The guy tipped him.
Right, he did get
and
tipped.
Just the level he took it to. And that when people try and say, well, everything's okay, Obama's president.
Post-racial society.
Yeah, when you hear stuff like that, it really reminds you that this shit still exists.
Extremely, to the nth degree. But not only was he... what you were saying before about how his response to it, but he was also very cavalier. This was just like a random conversation I'm just having with the boy. Nigga, da 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 da. Nigga.
He said it so many
times. Trinidad James with it.
It was bad.
So that was one Florida story. The other one was with the police officers were on the beach. It was a black boy. He's 14 years old. He was roughhousing with another friend. And the cops told them to stop. So I'm confused about the way it's written. It's a little confusing, actually.
It's very confusing.
Because the boy says he was holding a puppy.
Right, you roughhousing with your friend with the puppy in your hand?
And I don't know if they stopped the roughhousing when the police approached
them. It's horribly written.
Something is missing, yes. But at the end of the day, let's say they're at the beach. He clearly doesn't seem threatening if he's at the beach with his swim trunks on and he's chilling.
Right.
No matter what. And the police say... The boy gave him a dehumanizing stare, so this warranted the police throwing him in a headlock on the sand.
I'm not sure completely what happened, but I will say that the boys, I could see him. Okay, there's something that can be intimidating about us. I wish that it wasn't
the case,
but we're very powerful people.
He's 14.
People, and I could see the little boy looking at him like, whatever. I could see him doing that with the puppy in his hand. I could see him doing it. But regardless, it does not excuse what I see happening with the little boy.
So
it does not.
This is what I said on Facebook. I was like, oh, the look that he gave you was the look that we all give cops and we know they're about to abuse their authority.
Right.
We hate you pig ass motherfuckers who are about to overstep your bounds.
Yeah.
That's the look that he was given. The look that all of us know, all of us have within us because we know what's about to go down.
Right.
I haven't done anything.
Right.
I'm not strapped. I'm chilling on the beach with my people.
Right. Yeah.
And you're over here fucking with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the look you got. Yeah, I'll give them that. But dehumanizing stare.
That part, I couldn't even believe they...
That's a phrase. They use that.
I had never heard that before.
Me neither.
That's news to me.
Out of bounds. Completely.
He was mean money.
For real. That's basically...
He's like... Wait, that's a Stevie J face.
No, that's the rat face.
That's the rat face.
That's the rat king face. Please.
Oh, what the fuck?
Stop. Please stop. Oh, I don't believe my CBJ right now. So there was a man in Texas who was sentenced to 50 years in jail for stealing some ribs. So this is, so he went to some store, sold some ribs, and went outside, right? So the store employee noticed the bulge that was, he put them under his shirt, and he was like, what do you have? And the dude, basically the ribs fell out of his shirt, excuse me, and then the employee asked him if he was hiding anything else, and so he said, I have a knife. That's what he said. He was like, I got a knife.
It looks like a fucking Tom and Jerry cartoon when I picture it. He's got the ribs, and they fall out, and he's like, he said, you just turned a ticket
into a serious crime.
He's like, I have a knife.
Right, exactly. So this is the article reading from Gawker. So then they notice that, so what's then is reported is that Ward, who never actually showed a knife, there was never a knife actually
right
on his person, gets arrested. He took off running, but he was later arrested.
And he didn't get away with the ribs, correct?
No, they right. got the ribs
they
back.
They got the ribs back.
So
I think the article is misleading, though, because when I got to the end of the article, this guy had previously been convicted. He had felony convictions for burglary, attempted robbery, aggravated assault, leaving the scene of an accident, and possession of cocaine.
I will say this.
Snort.
I will say this.
I think that affected how many years he got.
I would probably say
the fucking minister society.
Yeah, to a point. But again, the way things are read, I mean, the charges, if we actually looked at what those were, we actually might feel a little different about, like, the burglary, the attempted robbery. I mean, I'm not saying they could be completely valid, but if you read actually what he was charged upon as a black man in the system.
Yeah, see, I'm not gonna take it to black man in the system level.
I am.
I'm looking right here. You have.
I'm not gonna.
Like, if they were similar incidents, like if it's a thing where you have a pattern where you're always accused of doing the same thing, then I maybe would understand that.
50 years.
I'm sorry. Burglary, attempted robbery, aggravated assault, leaving the scene of an accident, and cocaine possession, and now you're trying to steal, and then you threaten somebody with a knife?
I want to read those cases. But 50 years? 5-0? That's crazy.
I do believe that 50 is a bit much, but I also understand you, Antoine. Like, get out of here.
I mean, because I don't know. I don't know the system in that way where.
I do.
But he is a menace. He is
actually. He's a fucking. He should be on the street.
Did you see that picture of him?
Does he need some rehabilitation? Do we need to, like, try to help him?
Good.
Did you see the picture of the man?
No.
He looks like a crackhead. He looks like a homeless crackhead.
Yeah, something's up.
So, again, now we're talking
about. Well, hold on. What did you think?
Mentally disturbed.
If they said 20 years, would you have been okay with that?
Should we try to rehabilitate him?
20 years?
I see it. I don't know.
Ice cream truck
is out.
They can't. You know what? We actually can stop doing that because they can't hear that.
Okay.
You remember the lawnmowers were outside? They couldn't hear that.
That's awesome.
Because these are dynamic. They're not at any rate.
Sounds good.
So no, but the reason that I'm saying this is because a lot of times someone will, if they violate their probation. You know, let's say they got sentenced to 10 years and then they got out in 3.5 for good behavior, but they're on probation and they get out and then they shoplift, they break their probation, they send you back, and you have to serve the rest of that time.
Yes.
So what I'm wondering is, these other convictions cannot be ignored when he tried to steal the ribs. Where was he at?
If he was on probation.
And they're not clear on that. We don't know. Because I think it's misleading. They just say he got 50. He did not get 50 years for stealing ribs. He got 50 years for stealing ribs and doing all this other shit. That's what he got 50 years
for. So we're saying
that
there's probably a little more to the story than what Gawker is reporting.
It is Gawker. I mean, Gawker is reputable, but they left a lot out of that story.
But here's at the end of the day, though, I have very little faith in the system, so especially as far as we're concerned.
Right.
And one thing that was said by the assistant district attorney, this verdict shows that the citizens of this country will not tolerate a continued disrespect and disregard for other people and their property. People who choose to do so will be dealt with seriously and appropriately. He stole some ribs. Maybe this motherfucker was hungry. Like, I mean, I just think it's excessive.
When you're hungry, you don't steal ribs. Like, you gonna go home and cook them? If I'm hungry, I'll steal some bread. Shit.
Maybe.
He trying to live it up. Shit, you don't steal ribs when you're hungry.
So that was Texas. Now, in Florida, a man shot himself while bowling. I mean, he was carrying a revolver in his pocket. Can we pause on that for a second? You're bowling. You have a gun in your pocket.
It is Florida.
Nothing. You got
nothing. I have nothing for what? I don't know. I have nothing.
Hey, I wanted to mention, me and Caressa got in a heated argument about the little girl that makes bombs.
Coming to her next. She didn't make bombs. So she has, we talked about it before, but again, this was the 16-year-old who was on school grounds. She conducted an experiment that then led her to be expelled and facing felony charges. So she has since been, the expulsion has been lifted. She can go back to her high school in the fall.
Yeah, in the fall.
In the fall. And she also has received a scholarship to
attend. I don't know if they need to reward her.
The United States.
I'm telling you.
She received a scholarship to attend the United States Advanced Space Academy. So.
See, I'm going to tell you.
I want to say this. The man who actually granted her a scholarship, he has a memoir called Rocket Boys, which was turned into the film called October Sky, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
He can identify with her situation because he said he himself had the police called on him for a science experiment he conducted as a young man.
Oh, that's fine. My thing was, when we had the argument, it seemed like you kind of thought that there was some racial stuff going on.
I still think there is.
If you go to Google and type in bottle bomb arrest,
mm-hmm.
Oh, there are dozens of white people arrested for this shit for every black person, so it's not racially motivated.
Okay.
You go to the same state, there are white children, teenagers, arrested for that offense all the time, and the same thing happened. So yeah, I don't believe there was anything racial about it.
I still think that there was.
Okay, I'm just giving you a foundation to refute that belief.
That's fine.
Can you give me something to support your belief that it was racially motivated? Yeah, but I'm showing you that they arrest white people for the same offense all
that's
the time.
Right. That's good.
So that doesn't make sense to me.
I'm glad that there is law enforcement that is like really trying to keep us safe, but I think in this particular instance, the interesting thing they overacted. I would have to look at every single last one of those examples. Were they at school? Where were they? What was happening?
Like, yeah, researched this exact same situation.
At school.
And these white kids got the same shit. The same
they
shit happened.
They faced felony charges and got expelled from school.
Yes. I challenge you again.
Okay.
Type bottle bomb arrest in Google look at the myriad of white people that are arrested for this same crime. So that was, because I just felt really strongly about this. As I told you, if it was my niece or my daughter, I wouldn't want them going to school with that girl. What's she going to scare me on next?
I don't see her as a dangerous threat. I don't see her as that.
I don't know her. I don't know what she's capable of. I think
you are giving her the benefit of the doubt because she's black,
and you know feel that black people are exploited.
She has no backstory of craziness. She is not like the guy who shot up the damn school in the elementary school. Like
I
a history
don't
of
care
mental
what
illness.
Her fucking background
no,
is.
Like
I
that.
Don't want her
to
near
me,
my kids.
To me, a history
she
of mental
blows
illness
shit
and problems
up.
Is a problem.
She blows shit up.
That's whatever.
I don't know what she gonna do with
that. I see her as a threat. Didn't see her as a threat.
I was reading. I saw on TV. I was watching TV.
You both make good points.
Yeah. So you
watch a CSI now. She's taking a scalpel and cut motherfuckers up doing
that's
I saw it on CSI. I don't have any prior offenses, so it's okay.
A bit much. Tina, if you want to talk about the Miguel leg drop, we got like a minute.
Oh, man. I didn't see the award show. I just looked it up when you... I looked it up yesterday for the first time. And I'm a Miguel fan, as you know. Mm-hmm. I love Miguel more than any... My nails aren't done. I'm sorry, but anyway, I love Miguel so much. And yeah, he really hurt somebody.
Well, look, this is what happened, though, really quickly. When it happened, they talked to the girl, and that she was like, oh, I'm okay, and
backstage,
I'm a fan. He talked to her backstage. Okay, that story changed yesterday. She talked to a lawyer, and they showed a picture of her. She had a neck brace.
Was that her, though?
I thought it was her.
I didn't think it was. I was trying to discern that, because I was like, I feel like they just threw a picture up of somebody looking...
I knew that was coming. That leg drop.
As you can see, Miguel was out of control. He did not have. He was not grounded at all. His body was a weapon at that point in time.
Oh,
like,
church
it
shoes.
Really was. It was
leaping in church
but
shoes.
But he was so Scorpio, so full of it. He's a Scorpio, and he had so much energy, and I could see the fire in his eyes, and he just was not really being careful.
He didn't sound good on that performance.
I didn't hear the whole performance.
Not a good
He was doing too much. As people have, if you look up all these different videos on YouTube, one of the videos is, he's not a dancer. Just sing. Just sing and be pretty. Don't try to jump around.
Well, I'm sorry. Pretty, no.
Wow.
No.
All right, last remark. Last remark.
Very strange.
Last remark. Go.
I want to say that it may be a little bit confusing at first, but... Technically, there are two versions of the show. You have the podcast, which is audio only. And when we have a featured artist, what we're going to do from now on, the featured artist is going to be the music that separates the segment, so people will get a taste of it. This, what you're watching now, is we're never going to have music on it because this is going to be on YouTube and they don't allow you to use copyrighted material. So if you want to get the full effect... I'm sorry, what are you doing?
It's a new to us. No, hey!
She's talking shit. I am so okay. Nuts!
So if you want to get the full gist of everything, you want to hear some snippets of whoever the featured artist is, listen to the audio podcast.
Antoine took up all the time for last remarks, so we don't have any. Thank you for listening.
These actually should be fine, I think.
I recently moved, and I'm at a place of balance in my life, and I believe that whatever you say with full intention, it manifests, and so I'm ready for romance, I'm ready for my true love, and so I welcome that, and I'm grateful because I know he's here, and he's coming.
Okay, Tina, Antoine, thank you guys. I'm really excited. I love you both. And Godfrey is almost in my lap. Thank you for tuning in. Come back.
So long.
Tune in for new episodes every Monday at www.themadnesscollective.com. We out this bitch. West Side.